Welcome back to Hard Factor 90.3 Nigeria Info and her input hackers. I'm Dio, and we are still having Input Hackers' biggest conversation. Thank you once again for staying tuned and joining as well. And we move on to the next matter of discourse on the show today. And CSOs in Rivers State are taking on the Rivers State Police Command. Well, there's a story that made it onto our bulletin earlier on. Let's go over that once again. And just a moment while I whip that one up. Yeah, members of different civil society organizations in Rivers State are asking the State Commissioner of Police, Friday Boka, to make public the outcome of investigations of high-profile criminal matters. And they are also asking the Commissioner to take measures against erring senior officers of the State Police Command. The spokesperson of these civil society organizations in Rivers State, Solomon Lenu, made this demand while condemning the recent alleged brutality of citizens by men of the anti-courtism unit of the police command. Let's take a listen once again to what Solomon Lenu said to our correspondent earlier.
Of covering their own. We don't know why they feel ashamed to publicly discipline, publicly shame their personnel who are erring. Each time this thing comes up, you will hear this rhetoric, you hear this narrative, but we are not satisfied because it is as though the police hierarchy are the ones encouraging their men out there, you know, to torture and brutalize the people of River State. River State has been one of the states that have been at the highest receiving end of police brutality, and that was why the NSAS protest, you know, was very tough in River State.
Solomon Lenu said the CSOs are fast losing their confidence in the ability of the commissioner to punish erring police officers.
Because now we are thinking that the commander will be redeployed and put on trial for all the atrocities that has happened under his command. Rivers men and women should not shy away from bringing out these atrocities to the public. We are still using this medium again to call on CP Friday Boka and make it public, because the atrocities have been so much. Of course, there is only one thing that the civil society does, which is advocacy, and advocacy can come in when it is not hacking to. We can also go on civil action, although that will be the last resort, the CP, to take action against his men, because we are in a civil society.
I'm asking you, if you're willing to join the conversation, are you confident the River State Commissioner of Police, Friday Boka, is doing all that he can, and reasonably so, to ensure professional policing in River State? Join the conversation via Facebook and Twitter. We're live at Nigeria Info PH, WhatsApp on 0809-030-6416. The phone lines will be opened in a moment. But joining me in the studio for this conversation as well is Solomon Lennon, his spokesperson, civil society organizations here in River State. Solomon Lennon, good evening to you. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Yeah, good evening, Dio, and thanks for having me.
Let's get straight to it then. These high-profile criminal cases you're referring to, could you give an example or two of these cases? And why especially are the CSOs demanding or requesting this information at this time?
Well, a major point of call this time is with regards to the brutality and torture that the people of River State is still going through, you know, from the hands of the anti-courtism unit. Although it is not just from the anti-courtism unit alone, but their own is very, very pronounced right now. There is hardly a day that we don't get reports of, you know, people being raided, people being accosted unjustly, you know, being extorted and stuff like that. And we were thinking that going by what has happened in this country, taking the NSAS protest as a point of example, that by this time that we will have a society that will be devoid of the issues of police brutality. And again, when CP Friday Boka came, he came with so much promises, we visited him and we saw a man that was very calm, very, you know, cool-headed. In fact, if not for the uniform, you hardly believe he's a police officer with his demeanor and the way he carries on with, you know, his activities and all of that. And the first few months, you know, of his stay in River State, we were happy because we saw some flashes and glimmers of hope, you know, from him. But as time went by, we have now seen that he's still playing the same card that every other police commissioner do play, every other police hierarchy do play, which is covering their own men when they air. And this is very worrisome because if you look at our society today, we are faced with so many problems. In fact, one of the major problems that we have as of today is the problem of insecurity. It cuts across board. All over the country, we have an issue of insecurity. And to some extent, it's as though the police has been overwhelmed because they can no longer, you know, give confidence to the people that they are safe. But then, why is that? The police can effectively do their job if they play by the books. The police can effectively police our streets, our communities, if they work in synergy with the people. Because, of course, police are not magicians. They depend on the information that will be fed to them by the public for them to carry out their duty effectively. But when the same police are the ones who are brutalizing the people, torturing the people unjustly, it becomes a problem. Because if you look at what is currently happening in our society, though it didn't start just today, people are so averse to bring any information to the police. In fact, the rhetoric that the police is your friend is one of the biggest lies that every Nigerian today knows, because the police is actually not your friend. So we are saying that it is not right for the police to be doing that, and it is even a crime for the police hierarchy to try to always cover their men who are in this act. If you look at the Police Anti-Torture Act of 2017, you discover that, I think the Section 7 of that act states the liability, the punishment that should go to every erring police officers, every commander, and even the hierarchy of the police when situation of brutality, you know, happens under their watch. Therefore, we have been calling on the police command, police high command in River State. We've been telling them that, look, you need to do a good housekeeping. You need to take a look at your men at the anti-courtism section of the force.
Talking about the anti-courtism unit, I mean, they're not a new tactical unit. They've been with us for possibly as old as time. But might it be, would it be out of place to say that possibly they are becoming the new, or they have become the new now disbanded ECRAC team, or they have become the new SAS, which was disbanded as well? Would it be out of place to say that?
Well, you wouldn't be wrong at all. You wouldn't be wrong at all. Though, I would go further to add that even while the ECRAC was here, the anti-courtism unit was still very, very erratic. They were still doing what they are doing now. But what surprises us is that from what happened with the ECRAC incident with Chimay Kunadu, with the NSAS protest and all of that, we are surprised that they didn't learn anything from it. And one other thing that we have found out is that most of the men of the force, as it is today, they just come into the force without proper orientation. A lot of them don't even know the do's and don'ts of that service that they are in. Majority of them does not even know what the Anti-Torture Act is. Majority of them does not even know what constitutes torture. So they just get into the force maybe by stroke of luck, or maybe by necessity and all of those things. Because, like we have always maintained, one of the problems too that we have in our police force is that a lot of the personnel are not there to serve the nation. They are there just to get, you know, body and soul together now, because opportunities are scarce.
All these things you say they do not know. I don't think that it's any police officer in Nigeria who did not go through the police college. Except that person is impersonating a police officer. Now, I'd like to imagine, I haven't been through the police college, but I do imagine that all of these things you just mentioned, the relevant sections of the Constitution as applied to the police, the Anti-Torture Act, all of those things, they should have been taught at the police college.
Well, the Anti-Torture Act, the Police Anti-Torture Act that is operational today was amended in 2017.
But even before then,
you have some officers that has been in the service longer than 2017.
Torture was illegal as well.
Although, yes, it was illegal, but was not a criminal offense as it is now. Mm. Do you understand? But what I'm trying to say here is that the police needs a rejig, a total and complete reformation.
Now, if we were to put up some of the questions I'm asking right now to the police, especially the high command here in Rivers State, you probably get a response of something similar to the police has its internal procedures.
Yes.
We do punish erring officers. We have an orderly room trial. And to be frank as well, I've had cause to speak to some of your colleagues, who run CSOs as well. And sometimes when they get these reports, when the matters are reported to the CP, Boca Friday, there is some resolution. For example, if monies are extorted, the money is returned to the person who the money was extorted from. Are you saying that enough of that is not happening? Or even if that does happen, are you saying that's not enough? It's not enough to simply return the money to the person who was extorted. But before you respond to that question, pardon me, we have to go for commercial break shortly. I think we will return. The conversation will continue. C913 Nigeria, Infant Harry Input Harcourt. And we'd like to get your take as well on this matter. As a reminder, we're live on Twitter and Facebook at Nigeria Info PH. WhatsApp is on 0809-030-6416. The phone numbers, once again, will be open. The numbers given out when we return. Do stay tuned. Hard Facts will return in a moment.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say, hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on Hard Facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome, I'm still Hard Factor Nigeria, 92.3 Nigeria Info, and her Input Harcourt. I'm Dyer. We're still having Input Harcourt's biggest conversation. My guest is in the studio still, Solomon Lerner, a spokesperson, civil society organizations here in River State. Hello, welcome once again.
Yeah, thanks for having me still.
CSOs are asking the CP Friday Boka to make public the outcomes of investigations of high-profile criminal cases, especially those involving police officers. So before the break, I asked you a question. I'd like to summarize that again. There have been instances where, several actually, of some malpractice by police officers, persons either tortured and extorted, and then some CSOs, some of your colleagues who may have access to the CP, a Book of Friday, are able to get to his office. In some of these cases, the erring officers are actually brought before the victim right there at the CP's office, and then it's confirmed money was taken, and money is retrieved, money is returned. Is that enough? And can that be all that ends well?
Well, it's not enough. It's never enough. And we also don't encourage that. At least under our own leadership, we don't encourage, such settlements, because what happens is that when these erring officers get the leave to settle those matters, without going through the normal processes, you know, it gives the impetus to other officers to continue to do what they are done, you know. So for us, we don't encourage that, and that's why we are also very, very, you know, selective and careful with the kind of matters that we handle. Although in dispute resolutions, you know, the victim always have that opportunity to decide how he wants his case to go. And if the victim comes up to say, okay, I don't want to push this case anymore, I want settlement, you as a CSO, there's not much you can do. You understand?
But what if it, as in this case, the police is aware a crime has been committed?
Well, like I had said before, the police will always want to shield their own because for reasons best known to them, they feel ashamed or, I don't know, whenever their officers are erring and the public gets to know about it.
I'd like to ask a question about that, please. Pardon me.
Yes.
The police constantly uses the mantra that these officers who carry out these illegal acts or criminal acts are bad eggs.
Yes.
And they are not representative of the generality of the police force, whether in Rivers State or elsewhere. So if that were the case, one would expect that the police, whenever they encounter or these bad eggs are pointed out, that they will do all they can to get rid of them and also make the public aware that we've identified another crop or a fresh batch of bad eggs, and we have, eliminated them, sent them packing, so they will not contaminate the remaining good eggs that we have in the system. So why is that not the case? Because that makes sense.
Well, that's a wishy-washy for if whenever the police come to tell you that, don't take it for what it is, because that's not the true position. The police always find a way to cover their own. That's the standard from here down to Abuja, down to everywhere. It's the standard, and I'll tell you why. In the issue of police brutality, crimes and extortions and all of those things, it has a systematic collaboration amongst the hierarchy, and it runs right from the bottom top. You understand, nobody is exempted, and I make bold to say that because we've had issues where we found out that some of these officers who go around brutalizing people, they do it just to intimidate the people and to extort them. And those money that they extort from the public, they don't make use of it just by themselves. You understand, they make returns to their commander, and their commanders also make returns to the other higher authorities. So you see a chain collaboration in this crime. So in that case, it becomes difficult for any of the top officers to want to just let go of an erring officer, because if an investigation is carried out thoroughly, you see that they themselves too will be complicit, and they will not want to, you know, hang themselves. So that's the reason why you see most of this cover-up sometimes. But that's not to say that there are no efforts in trying to make sure that the police reads away the bad eggs. But the truth is, the ratio at which that is done is very, very abysmal. You don't have a situation where on a daily basis you have at least 10 or 20 officers committing a certain kind of crime, and then maybe in a month you have maybe just one or two being punished. That's too meager, you understand? In fact, that's encouraging the crime. And that is what we see here. That is what is obtainable here and every other place where the police is operating here in Nigeria.
Now, the efforts to sanction these officers, which once again is at the core of what, you know, we're discussing right now and what the CSOs are demanding, that these investigations and the results be made public. Why do you want that? Because once again, as I mentioned a while ago, the police will respond and say, well, we have our internal procedures, and those procedures are always going on. We have an orderly room trial, and it's not like a regular court procedure where media people and the rest can line up there or sit and witness what's going on. Those procedures or processes are internal to us. So, that said, once again, why are you demanding that the results of these investigations be made public?
Well, there's a procedure called naming and shaming, and it is one of the very, very veritable ingredient and tool that is employed every other place to deter people from committing crimes, especially public servants, you understand. And we believe that if you name them and shame them, just the way the police would do, because of course, you know, when the police is always very fast to parade suspects just for them to get the glory that they are working and all of that. So we also believe that if you name them and shame them, it would deter others from wanting to go through such shameful process. You understand? So it is a process that we believe will deter others from wanting to do what the officers who are facing that situation had gone through. So that's why we always say, police, if you must be taken seriously, you must practice what you preach. And then you must, your justice system must be even to all, not, you know, giving a certain, you know, treatment to the public, and then when it comes to your own officers, you give them a separate treatment. That's not welcome, you understand. So that is why we've always insisted that let them bring it out to the public. And then again, if they don't bring it to the public, how do we know that they've actually punished those erring officers? That's a very fundamental question. Because we've had situations whereby an officer will commit a crime, and then the police will tell you that they've punished him, they've sanctioned him, and at the end of the day, you discover that he's still in active service, still receiving all the benefits and all of that. And a clear example is ASP Benson Adetuyi, who was the mastermind of the killing of Chima Ikunadu, who is serving now in Bayelsa State. So these are some of the things that we've been seeing. So you imagine when someone who is involved in a murder case, a case that was highly publicized across the country, a case that was very, very bad, even to this moment as I speak, even the case has not been resolved, still serving out there. What is it telling the other officers? What you're telling other officers invariably is that you can go ahead and do whatever you want to do. You are above the law. You can be called to order.
So one major thing I'm taking from our conversation thus far today is that the criminality in the Nigerian police force is systemic and it's organized.
True.
And not enough, if much at all, is being done to rid the police of that.
Of course, that's the position. That's the situation that we found ourselves in. I'll give you another example. If the Nigerian police was not so corrupt, and I'm saying this not to, you know, demean them, because of course we know that the job that they are doing is very critical to the sustenance of our livelihood as a people. I commend them. But then the ratio at which they accommodate the bad ones is something else. I give you one example. You know, we went to the streets in October 2020 protesting about, you know, the actions of the police. But today, as I speak to you, you discover that they have also, after the disbanded SARS, you have other officers that are doing exactly the same thing that SARS were doing all along the streets of Nigeria. So if it wasn't a system that was highly polluted, I'm telling you that the action of October 2020 would have actually given a certain level of sanity in the service. But because it's the corruption in the system has gone so deep, it becomes very difficult, you understand, to change the system.
Let's hope that this latest call by CSOs in River State, joining with other calls from the past and the calls of other reasonable, sane Nigerians, will go a long way in improving policing and improving their professionalism, not just here in River State, but even beyond as well. Thanks for joining the conversation, especially thanks to my guest, Solomon Lennon, a spokesperson, civil society organizations here in River State. Many thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dayo, for having me.